Rex.
Zoinks, what are we going to do now?
B-A-L-O?
C-J-L-O, like that super swell, Scoop.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. The City of Montreal will be holding public consultations for a proposed plan to create a 24-hour nightlife district downtown, as well as neighborhoods around the city dedicated to after-hours activities. The meetings, to be held over the next 2 months, will give businesses, organizations, and the public an opportunity to provide their opinions and suggestions before the policy is finalized towards the end of the summer. Though specific neighborhoods have not yet been confirmed, the city wants to assure that the industries who would profit from the city's nightlife will be in harmony with the ever-growing number of residences found among bars, dance halls, and theater venues. The city believes that keeping certain businesses open for 24 hours has the potential to inject more than $600 million into the local economy while keeping the city culturally vibrant. McGill University has announced that it is working on a plan to reopen Moisey Hall, a theater in its arts building that was closed 2 weeks ago due to the discovery of asbestos. The 306-seat venue that was built in the 1920s is regularly used by the school's English department as well as for rentals and stage productions. Yet dust samples, which were collected from suspicious-looking debris on January 16th, led to air quality tests that came back positive for the toxic fiber. Adjoining rooms to the theater, including the basement, were also closed as a precaution, though the rest of the building remains open. Federal Immigration Minister Mark Miller announced changes to the International Student Visa Program this week. Katie Brady has more.
Three principal measures. One, a temporary 2-year cap on new international.
During a Liberal cabinet retreat in Montreal this week, Minister Miller announced cuts to the International Student Visa Program, which the Trudeau government says is to help alleviate the housing crisis. For 2024, the cap is expected to result in foreign student visas being slashed by about a third. The bulk of the cuts will impact provinces like BC and Ontario, who have the highest number of international students already. For now, it seems Quebec, which has comparatively fewer foreign students, will be allowed to take in more pupils under the changes, but many are still wary of the shakeup. Vivian Albuquerque is an immigration lawyer in Montreal. She studied as an international student at Concordia University.
And for the vulnerability of the spouse in Canada, I mean, if you come to Canada in order to advance your career and then go back home and then your spouse needs to stay home and take care of the kids, you have to think about it twice. It's still not clear, and that's the part that it's really concerning me, because the government makes those announcements and it seems to be able to satisfy a specific part of the Canadian population and leaves international students in limbo.
The announcement has added to the immigration debate at home this week. Premier Legault has made several public remarks about needing to curb immigration due to strain on the system. Quebec Solidaire immigration critic Guillaume Cliche-Rivard told CJLO Quebec's housing crisis isn't caused by newcomers, and he wants to see meaningful analysis done to find solutions to Quebec's immigration question.
They are failing to this day to tell us who they would reduce, what category, and how they would do it. And I would request to those people that are requesting and are putting forward measures to reduce permanent and temporary immigrations to directly be more detailed and more specific and to tell us, if that's your position, can you please explain to Quebecers what's that going to mean and how many of them do you feel are too many? And what field is this international students that you're going to cut? Is it workers that are in the health system? Is it workers in the public sphere?
For the full interview with Guillaume Cliche-Rivard, find CJLO's weekly news roundup on Spotify. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Cadenza Montreal here on CJLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning. We got a music-only show this week, a little break from the interviews, but just set one up this morning, so next week's, we'll have at least one interview already set up. But luckily, there is plenty of music going on in Montreal this week that we can talk about and listen to. So starting off, we have the Orchestra Metropolitaine is performing this Saturday, February 3rd, in the afternoon at 2 p.m. This is a sort of one night only or one afternoon only, as it may be, concert at the Maison Symphonique. Music director Yannick Nezet-Seguin will be conducting, and the program includes works by Amy Beach, Lily Boulanger, and Francis Poulenc. So two out of three composers are fantastic women composers, which I always love to see that. Amy Beach, in particular, if you don't know, is she's kind of considered the first successful American female composer. And her Gaelic symphony sort of draws on her Irish roots, her Irish background. So I thought that we could start with that. This is the, it's her symphony in E minor, Opus 32, also known as the Gaelic Symphony. And this recording here is the first movement, Allegro con fuoco. This is the Detroit Symphony with Neme Yerve conducting.
Thank you. Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tous genres confondus. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visite le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal here on CJLO 1690. Before the break, there was the first movement of Amy Beach's Gaelic Symphony, the Allegro con Fuoco movement. The performing artists there were the Detroit Symphony under the direction of Neme Yervi. So that again is with the Orchestra Metropolitan concert this weekend. And turning to the other large orchestra in Montreal, the Orchestra Symphonique de Montréal, they're on break this week. No big concerts from them, but they do have their webcast still up of the Gemma New conducting, the New Zealand-born conductor Gemma New was in Montreal, I think a few months ago. They recorded this concert for webcast, and she brought Holst's The Planets, and as well as a Canadian composer, a work by a Canadian composer, Nicole Lisée. Holst's The Planets is kind of Gemma's signature work, it seems. She brings it to a lot of places, especially when she is debuting there, making her first appearance as conductor. And it is such a classic piece, but for good reason. It's very fun. I've played it myself, not in the orchestral version, but in the in a wind band version, which is also very common. Holst was actually composed a number of pieces for wind band. So I thought we could hear one of the movements from The Planets. I think most people, if they know The Planets, they think immediately of the first movement, which is Mars, the Bringer of War. But one of my favorite, personal favorite movements is the fourth movement, which is Jupiter, the Bringer of Jollity. So this is the on recording with the OSM and conductor Charles Dutoit.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. That was Gustav Holst's The Planets, the fourth movement there. Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. That recording is Charles Dutoit conducting the Orchestre Symphonique de Montréal. That's definitely, I think, my favorite movement of the piece, but there's so many great ones to pick from. But the way that it always gets my head bobbing, those, it's so catchy. And then, but it also just, you know, expands into this huge, lush, beautiful melody in the brass there. So I think it sounds really good in both the orchestral and the wind band versions. Turning now to a concert that is happening tomorrow night at Salbourgie, it's the Amani Winds, the American Wind Quintet. So excited to get to talk about them again. I think a few months ago I talked about them on the show for something related to what was going on in Montreal, or maybe not. Maybe it was just because I love the Amani Winds, which I do, as, you know, as a bassoonist and you know, wind player in general. They are one of the few wind quintets that's really made a career out of what they do, and they are fantastic at it. So they will be at Salbourgie tomorrow night for their performance. In terms of, they have a great program. In terms of what's recorded, not much of it is on their CDs, which is, you know, again, what's exciting about them. They're always premiering new works. They're always performing new works. So I thought I'd go a little bit into their back catalog. And I thought, you know, I've already played Valerie Coleman's Tzigane on the show. I'd still love that piece. I'd play it again if I knew I hadn't already played it, because there's another Valerie Coleman piece that's very symbolic of the Imani winds. It's called Umoja. It's one of the, like, one of their real staple pieces in the repertoire. There's lots of different versions, and it wasn't actually initially written for them. The original flutist of the Imani winds, Valerie Coleman, composed this. And it was originally for, it was a choral work before she created the version for wind quintet. But it's really become a classic, and this is the Imani Winds recording of this version off their album that is simply called Imani Winds. Give the computer 1 second. It's taking a moment to load, and there we go. That was the Imani Winds recording of Umoja by Valerie Coleman. It's really become one of the staple works at their repertoire. But going back through some of their other albums, you know, some of these works that, you know, they've performed so, they platformed so many interesting works over the years. And I was going back to their album Startin' Somethin', and I saw this piece called Traditional Klezmer Dances by the composer Gene Cavadlo. And for me, I already knew it was pretty much guaranteed I would like it, because klezmer music is so fascinating to me, and it really has this just amazing creativity and dancing feel. So yes, these two, the two movements that the Imani Winds recorded on this album are fantastic and feature amazing virtuosic clarinet playing. The clarinet, of course, being a very important instrument in this type of music. And Gene Cavallo, the composer, is also a clarinetist himself. So it all makes sense. But yeah, this is really a showcase for the clarinet, but of course the other instruments as well, not to be doubted or underestimated. So this is in two movements that they recorded. The first is Hussidal, and then the second movement, which I will just go into without break, is Freilich.
Thank you. Are you a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma classes excluded, and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayogamontreal.com.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal here on CJLO 1690. Before the break, there was the Amani Winds performing the traditional klezmer dances by Jean Cavaldlo. You can see them tomorrow night at Salborgie for their program, which is called Black and Brown. Should be a great program. There's another work by Valerie Coleman on the program, which is called Rubespheres for flute, clarinet, and bassoon. I don't know that one, but it should make for a very, very interesting time. There's also Paquito de Rivera, Carlos Simon, and the plenty of new or relatively new works, one of which was premiered last May. That is the Carlos Simon piece, Giants. So yes, they are fantastic, and Monica Ellis, especially on bassoon, is one of my personal favorite bassoon players. Just so much power behind her playing. Also coming up at the same venue is the Apollon Musaget Quartet, which is a young Polish string quartet. They're coming to play some real, like, you know, staples of the classical music string quartet repertoire. One of which is the Dvorak String Quartet Number 10. Dvorak string quartets are very, very classic and always beautiful. The Dvorak String Quartet Number 12, American, is probably one of the, has the opening melody that's one of the most famous, but the number 10 is also amazingly beautiful. This quartet is very, they have a very interesting discography. Of course, they've recorded a lot of the classics and what they'll be performing, but the fun fact I found out about them is that they appeared on the Tori Amos album Night of Hunters back in 2011. Not sure how that collaboration came about, but I think it's really interesting and fantastic to see collaborations like that. So this will be the first movement of the Dvorak String Quartet Number 10 in E-flat major, the Allegro, and this is the Allegro Ma Non Troppo, sorry, and this is the Takash Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Dvorak's String Quartet number 10, the first movement there performed by the Takash Quartet. I think we have just enough time to play one more piece before I go. I was looping back to Holst from earlier without wasting the precious little time we have left on explanation. He wrote this first suite for military band in E-flat major. This will be the third movement, the dance. Thanks for so much for tuning in to Cadenza Montreal this week, and I will see you all next week with an interview and a new episode.